It's easier for me to speak if everyone sits here in front of me. It's hard to believe that Mirz Hashem next Shabbos starts Hanukkah. The weeks go by so quickly. There's a fascinating Gemara in Shabbos, Ayin Zayin, where the Marshal gives a remarkable parish to the Gemara, to the Agadata, and gives us a tremendous insight into the holiday of Hanukkah and a tremendous insight into Avodas Hashem generally. And I'd like to share that Marshal with you. The Gemara says in Shabbos, Rav Zeira asked Rav Yehuda, "My time o easy masking bereish v'hodar imri." What's the reason that we see so many times that goats, which are black, march ahead? And behind them come a flock of sheep, which are white. Omar Leh, he answers him, Kibriyoso She'omo, because we find when the Eibishter created the world, Reisha Hashocho, first it was dark, V'hodar Nehoro, and then it was light. So that's why the goats go first. The black goats go first, and that's why the white sheep's foul. Fascinating, intriguing is the word. It's an intriguing agadata. What in the world are the Chazal telling us here? And the Marshal gives a brilliant explanation. The Marshal says that the Chazal are alluding allegorically to the Nes of Hanukkah. It's impossible for us to appreciate the full extent of what Klal Yisrael did. We all know what happened. But what they did is something totally incomprehensible. The best way of explaining it is of an alter yid, an old man will pick himself up with his five sons today, and he decides he's making war against America. America is constantly exerting unfair pressure on Israeli politics. So once and for all, we're getting rid of America. So an alter yid with five sons musters an army from Israel, and they go to hold war against the United States. That was ancient Greece, what the United States of the ancient world. It was the superpower in the ancient world. It's incomprehensible how something like that happened. How is it conceivable? They weren't Mishigoyim. They weren't crazy people. Matisyahu and his sons, quite to the contrary. What in the world motivated them to do such a thing? The answer is referred to allegorically. We know from history what motivated them, but allegorically the Chazal are referring to this puzzle. Yovan was the dominant power in the ancient world and had control over Israel for many years. But as soon as they started to exert a stranglehold on the very lifeblood of Klal Yisrael and the life breath of Klal Yisrael, and they started to decree many gzeiros that were contrary to Torah, then we realize under those conditions we cannot live. It's impossible to live. And therefore we went to war. There is no threat of physical extermination. The only threat was to the neshama of Klal Yisrael, to the Torah and mitzvahs of Klal Yisrael. It was the darkness of the Grecian dominion and oppression of Torah observance in Klal Yisrael that motivated us to go to war, that resulted in the light and the brilliance and the luster of the menorah, of the reconsecration of the Beis HaMikdash. This is a message that is a basic principle in Avodas Hashem. I want to share with you a few words from Reb Chaim Volozhiner in his Perush on Pirkei Avos. Ha'odom hu tamid, I'm just translating for emphasis, the Hebrew is not difficult. Adam tamid ole v'yored. A man is constantly going up and down. Ve'eish yiridoso, when he goes down, nidme lo ki kol ma she'osa achshav min ha'toyra min avoda eino b'chal b'mei shalom. Whatever he's doing now is mamish, not with a complete heart, and he begins to negate his whole avodas Hashem. Ve'in matzliach mo. He'd like to go to sleep, to hibernate, until this period of a downtrend disappears from him. He wants to go back to be an Oved Hashem the way he was. It's interesting, you know, I remind myself as I read these words, I got a call from a Talmid, must have learned in the yeshiva maybe 18 years ago, I don't remember. He wanted to speak to me when I was in America, but he wasn't successful in reaching me. So I called him last week. And I asked him, you know, what he wanted to discuss with me. And I mamish got a Musar Shmuas when he told me what he wanted to talk to me about. For me, it was a Musar Shmuas. He said that he's working already, but he has a story of learning and so on. And he tells me that he had a gevaltik elul in Tishrei, very strong aliyah in Yerushalayim and elul in Tishrei. But in Cheshvan, he felt he sunk down a lot. He slipped a lot downward. And he called me up to ask me what he can do to be mechazik himself. That was what he wanted to talk to me about. The yeshiva bocher asked me such a question. I'm very happy and I have a lot of nachas, but it's something I expect to come from a yeshiva bocher. But a man whose oldest son is bar mitzvah now, he's a little bit past the yeshiva bocher age, and he's already working. And he called to ask me such a question. And his words, his feelings are described here by Reb Chaim Volozhiner. That's why I just reminded myself of him. He would like to go to sleep and to wake up again full with the enthusiasm and chizuk that he had during Elul and Tishrei. Reb Chaim Volozhiner continues, Zayadua harbe ngaholeich b'derech ha'toyrim. That many times people who are b'nei aliyah, they try to guide their lives in the derech of Torah, they have these experiences of mashberim, we call them, of a tailspin. Avu b'yemes eino kein. But it's not the right way to look at it as something totally negative and from which we should want to escape. The MS ain't okay. If a person makes the slightest effort, he'll be able to pick himself up and start moving up again. If he stops completely and tries to hibernate, he'll just sink lower and lower. If he makes an effort, even if the effort is not optimal, it may not be 100% l'shem shamayim, it may not be as consistent as he would like it to be, but if he makes an effort to start picking himself up again, then he will be successful in doing so. And these are his words, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, Odom hu tomid ole v'yored. There's no person in Ruchnius whose growth is straight up. The biggest person has his aliyahs and he has periods of yerida. When he falls in learning, in davening, the Talmid who called me up said he felt he was falling in his Yiras Shamayim. That's what bothered him. It's interesting that this concept is also reflected in the Summa, Mutzav Arzav Erosha Magia Shemaim, of which we spoke last week. The ladder rooted in the ground and in the uppermost extension of the ladder stretching into the heavens. I don't know if you ever thought of it, but you can't climb up a ladder without pushing down. You can't walk upstairs without pushing down. If you go into buildings that have a lot of wear and older buildings, you see the stairs, stone stairs, they're curved. They're curved. Shabbos morning when I'm home in Beit Vikan, I daven in the Teres Yisrael. When I walk up the stairs, going into the building and inside the building, going up and down to the Beis Medrash, the stairs are curved, stone stairs, Amish curve. From the thousands of footsteps that they have been subjected to over the 30 years or so, 25, 30 years that the yeshiva is in Beit Vegan in their building. You can't go up a ladder unless you press downward. It's the downward action of the foot that enables you to go up. Without the downward movement, you can't go up a ladder. Impossible, unless you fly up to the top, but you can't walk up. It's not going to work. So it's important for a Ben Torah, a young man who was zoicha to spend his whole day and night in a yeshiva, learning, davening, ruchnius, chesed, to appreciate that the aliyah is not going to be straight up. There's always going to be mashberim, always going to be crises when we start to slip in different areas, whatever it may be. And the important thing is not to get discouraged and not to become depressed, but to remain optimistic and to strengthen ourselves and redouble our efforts to move higher. The Rabbeinu Yonah says it explicitly in Shari Tshuva. In the second Shar, Sif Hei, Yesham HaPoteach B'Shem, Mehochil B'Muv Tzukoso, the one who has B'tochun in Hashem has to have a distinct hope from the depths of his despair and darkness. The darkness in which he now finds himself, in whatever area of avodas Hashem, that in itself, the darkness will be a cause and will motivate him to see new light. Those who are my enemies should not rejoice at my difficulties. Kino falti, even though I have fallen, kamti. I'm getting up again. I have gotten up again. Ki eshe b'choshech. Hashem orami. I may be sitting in darkness now, but Hashem is my light. And I'm not going to give up. And I'll turn the darkness into light. And then he goes on to say, if we didn't get the message clearly, Rabbeinu Yonah goes on to say, Imome yoshafti b'choshech, if I wouldn't have sat in darkness, lo hoya orami, then I would really be in trouble. And I would have no new light awaiting me. There's a Gevaltic parish in Tiberkas Peretz, the Stipler Sefer on Chumash. A Gevaltic parish in Parshas Vamidbor. Very kedai to see it inside if you haven't. He explains why psychologically Hashem so created the human psyche that there has to be Elias and Eurythmus. Why couldn't the psyche so have been designed by Hashem that a person takes off and he keeps going straight up? What would be so bad? So he says as follows. A person keeps growing, he very easily comes to a point where he says, you know, I've accomplished a lot this month. I've accomplished a lot the last year or so in the yeshiva. My learning is so much better. My davening is terrific. My general avoda has never been as strong as it is now. I think it's enough. And consciously or subconsciously, he starts to take it easy. No person can stand still in Ruchnius. If we're not moving up, we're automatically going down. So the Eibishter makes it that if a person starts to think like that or act like that, sometimes in subconscious we're not aware exactly of the mental processes that are going on within us. A person starts to think like that and stops his push to keep moving up, automatically he starts to fall down. Why? A person very easily comes to a point where he feels he's steiged enough and he doesn't want to keep growing. That's not an unusual phenomenon. But nobody wants to lose that which he has already gained. A man is working a year or two, he works a hosman, he works a week or two or three or four, and his davening has reached new heights and new levels, so he may feel that it's good enough for him. He doesn't want to become the biggest tzaddik in the world, but he doesn't want to lose. He may rationalize sufficiently not to keep trying to steig, to grow more, but there's no way he's going to rationalize and convince himself, I don't care if I go back to the way I was at the beginning of this bond, how I was when I first walked into the yeshiva a year or two ago. That he doesn't want. So as soon as a person recognizes that he's starting to slip in his avodas Hashem, then he's motivated all over again to make a new effort to climb further. With more strength, with more zeal, with more commitment. He doesn't want to lose. He sees that he's losing. So that's the psychology of a mashber, of a yerida. It's the Gevaltic explanation that the Stipler gives. So when we have these periods during a day, during a week, a period of time, when we feel that we're starting to slip in any area of avoidance Hashem, we should recognize it as an opportunity for growth. It's a new, Hashem is giving us a new incentive, a new motivation to reach higher levels than we were before, than we were at before when we started to fall down. Every time I go over the Steiper, I get a Gevaltik Chizuk from his words. It's such a brilliant insight that he shares with us. And that's why he writes elsewhere. He says an amazing phrase here. He said that the Iker Avoida in Avoidas Abore Yisborach is in the Zman of Nefila. In the time when a person is sniffing, that's when we can achieve the most in our Avoidas Hashem. If we take advantage of that period when we start to slip down, to use it as a new motivation, a new source of incentive to move upward, he said, it's the most valuable time in Avoidas Hashem. It reminds me also of what Rabbi Yisrael Salanter writes in the 17th Igeres Yud Zayin in Or Yisrael. Zos hu yisod me'avodas ha'odom l'boro yisbarach shemo. A basic principle in Avodas Hashem, Rabbi Yisrael writes, Nishmor v'masos gam ma she'en nipo chofetz. In the pattern of Avodas Hashem, there are many things that we do easily, and other things where we meet a lot of resistance, a lot of inner resistance. Sometimes it's motivated by external factors. And a person should realize that the Iker Avoida is to do those things that we don't have cheshit for. He nishmor v'masos gam ma she'ein nipo chofetz. That inculcates and intensifies a love for Torah and mitzvahs. Not to run and try to just exclude those things from our pattern of Torah behavior. Chas v'shomo. Ki mo yosim odom libo v'nafsho, masos neged ritzon levovo. If a person doesn't discipline himself and train himself to do those things that he doesn't want to do, like going to sleep at night on time, like waking up in the morning on time to come on time for a minyan. It's very hard for a boy to get into such habits. We're alone, our parents aren't here, Rabbeim aren't with us at night. A person has to discipline himself. Yetzer hara gets us to go to sleep at night, and before we open our eyes in the morning, he already has our whole day for pachki. Too tired to learn efficiently, short on nerves, so we don't have patience with people. That's all he has to do is get a guy to go to sleep late at night. Not a guy myself also. If I don't get enough sleep at night, you think I have the same patience the next day for people that if I have a good night's sleep? Definitely not. If I don't get enough sleep at night, you think my mind is as clear when I sit down to learn as when I do get it? Definitely not. All the Yetzer Hara has to do is get us to go to sleep late. And the next day when we open our eyes, he's got the battle won for the whole day, till we go to sleep at night. The whole day is for Patshkit, without us even realizing it. Kim lo yosim odom libo v'nafsho masos neged rotzon levovo. If a person doesn't train himself to do that which the Torah wants us to do, even though we don't want to do it, we're not holding there yet that we want to do it. Harehu olum ukom avera shibetoyra, a powerful mashal. It's likely that person is likely to do any avera in the Torah. If he won't discipline himself to do even that which he doesn't want to do, where there's an inner resistance, and chas v'shalom, he can be nichshol in any aveira. For the same reason, he won't put up a fight. If it's easy, he'll do it. Then if it's difficult and he doesn't enjoy doing it, he doesn't want to do it, well, then he won't do it. It's a gewaltig Rebbe Yisrael Salanter here. Tremendous insight into Avodas Hashem generally. I want to conclude with a Gevaltik Perush of the Steitwer and a Gemara in Kedushin, which we just learned a little while ago. Gemara is in Kedushin, Lamed Vav Omed Amath. There's a Machmokus here between Reb Meir and Rebbe Yehuda. Bonim atem Hashem Elokeichem. Bizman shatem nohagi minak boni, atem kriyim boni. When you conduct yourselves towards Hashem like children, you're called boni. Ein atem nohagi minak boni, ein atem kriyim boni. If you don't act like sons, then you're not called sons. You're not treated by him like a son. You're not called a son. Divei Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Meir disagrees. Reb Meir says, "Bein kach hu bein kach, atem kruyim boni." There's a brisa where we see that the halacha is the paskin like Reb Meir. Bein kach, where Reb Yehuda is moided to Reb Meir. Reb Meir says, "Bein kach hu bein kach, atem kruyim boni." Shenemar bonim sichlim hemo, v'yomer bonim ho emun bom. V'yomer zera mareim boni mashlisim. V'yomer hoya b'mkom asher yomer lohem lo amiyatem yomer lohem b'nei kelchai. The Gemara asks, "My v'yomer, what are you bringing me so many psukim for? One pasuk is sufficient." So the Gemara says, each pasuk teaches us that a person who has different kinds of averas still does not lose his birthright of being a child of a Kodesh. That bond is eternal. Even a husband and wife whose neshamas are two halves of one whole can break that bond through a get, chas v'shomo. But the bond of a father, avinu shebashamayim, and a son can never be broken. So the Gemara explains as follows. What are all these Omer? Why are all these psukim quoted here? Ki tema, sichli hu de mikre, boni. If they're foolish, they act foolishly, they're called boni. Ki nespo hu hemenuso, but if they lose their amun and Hashem chas v'shom, lo mikre boni. Toshma Omer Bonim Lo Emun Bom. Bonim who don't have a full amun in a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ki Tema. Ki Nespu Hu Hemenuso Hu De Mikre Bonim. If they don't have an amun like they should have, they're called Bonim. Ki Pochu Le Avodas Kochovim Lo Mikro Bonim. But if they worship idols, they certainly aren't called Bonim. Toshma, Meir says, you're wrong. Zera Mereim, Boni Mashchisim, even if they worship idols, they don't lose their birthright. Chitema, Boni Mashchisim Hudomo Mikre, they worship idols, they're not called destructive children. But Boni Ma'auyamo Mikre, they're not called virtuous children. That's certainly not worshiping idols, we should give them a medal yet, virtuous children. Toshma v'omer v'hoyo b'mkom asher yomer lohem lo amiyatem yomer lohem b'nei kelchai. A pasuk in Hosea. In the place where you are called no longer my people, you will be called b'nei kelchai, the children of the living God. Rashi says, they'll never, if they worship idols, they won't be called virtuous children anymore. Gemara says, no. The Hadre Mikru B'nei Kelchai, they'll still be called virtuous children. They'll still be called B'nei Kelchai, Al Yitei Tshuva. This is the recuperative power of Klal Yisrael. We can sink to a level where our Amun and Hashem is weak. We can sink to a level of worshipping Avoy Tezorah Chas V'Shalom. But the potential to restore ourselves to a relationship with Hashem, where we are referred to still as B'nai Kel Chai, that we never lose. Stipler adds one insight into the chat in the Gemara. It says in the Pasuk, being calm in the place where they're called no longer my people, they'll be called the Neo Kelchai. So the Stipler's learned chat in the place, in the very area of darkness, from the very point of darkness where we have fallen, from that point will we be able to raise ourselves again and be called B'nai Kelchai. That from the point of darkness, a person can come to the most brilliant light. That's the message of Hanukkah. That the darkness of the goat is always followed by the brightness of the sheep. That from the darkness of a person's yerida, a person has a setback in his avodas Hashem. And if we permit that to motivate us to make new efforts, from that point of mokum, b'mokum, asher merhem lo amiyatem, from the place where you fall in darkness, where you find yourself enveloped, surrounded by darkness, from there you'll be able to rise to new heights and once again be called the Nei Kel Chai.